Acts chapter number 8. And if the Lord allows it, if we get there, we'll flip over to Acts 21 before we leave. Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 21. Some time back, I started a little series on Philip the Evangelist, doing a character sketch through the book of Acts about his life and how God moved through him and how God used him. And I felt led to do so because I just felt the Lord speaking to me that what God did in Philip, generally, God wants to do in me and God wants to do in you. That's what I heard the Lord say. And the beauty of that is Philip was not like Peter at the time. He wasn't like Paul at the time. He was just a base servant that was Holy Ghost filled. And from the foundation of his salvation and being filled with the Holy Ghost, God carried him on a journey. And God used him in mighty ways. And we just began to look at that. And I've got 10 points to share with you today from the text. Now, the good news is the first three I'm not really going to preach because I already have. So really I got about 6 or 7. But I want us to go back to Acts chapter 8. I want us to pick up and I want us to begin to learn and see. Let me remind you this as we get started. The first thing we know about Philip, his name pops up. He comes on the scene during a time in the infant stages of the church where the church is exploding and Holy Ghost is moving and people are being born again radically. People are being healed and people are being delivered and people are being set free. And God is moving in a mighty way, unlike the world had ever seen, right? This is the book of Acts. Everybody loves to read the book of Acts because you just see God and His power and His glory and you see the church as it's birthed and as it explodes. And as we see this, we see great persecution and a counterattack against it, but we see that the church prevails through the book of Acts, and it sets the tone for what I believe the church is supposed to do from there on out. Now, do I think the church did that? No. But I believe it was to set the tone. I know there's a lot of people in theological realms that believe that those were the good old dispositional days, and they're not like that anymore. You know, that the greatest days of the church were then, and that was just because that was a dispensation that was great, and we're to be here with something much lesser. But number one, that don't even look biblical. Number two, why would you even want to believe that? You know? So, you see Acts, and you see Philip comes on the scene, and he comes during a time where there was a need in the church. There was problems in the church, and there were good problems. The good problems was that the church was growing so fast that there was a greater need for ministry. There was ministerial needs, and so what happened was there were men set aside to serve in these areas, to serve, take care of the widows, to serve and distribute the money and taking care of needs. And they had to listen to some griping and some grumbling between two different groups. And so God takes these men to bring unity and to meet needs while the others are still out preaching and God's moving. And so Philip starts off and he's behind the scenes as a servant dealing with the, if you will, the minuscule needs during the time. Not on the stage where all the glory is, not where the great manifestation is, but he's just dealing with the people and the needs. And it's interesting to me that God chose men full of the Holy Ghost just to serve in those areas. I believe that. You know what I believe God wants for the janitor in the church? To do it Holy Ghost filled. It don't matter if you're sitting in the back or standing up here. Whatever you bring to the table as far as the body of Christ, I think God wants you to serve from the foundation of the Spirit-filled life. And that's what I love about Philip, because he seems like just an average guy in the beginning. And that's what I feel like I am, just an average guy, you know? But you see the Spirit-filled life and how it changes him and changes the course of his life and how effective he was. So that's where we went with this. And so my first point, and I'm leaving you with an outline as we close. I believe I'll close the series today. That from the Holy Ghost-filled life, you see servitude. You see a servant. I've said this over and over, and I want you to get it, because this may be the last time I say it, because we're going to move on. One reason why so many people have got discouraged in serving in the church is because many of them have the Spirit but are not filled with the Spirit. And because the Spirit-filled life is not just this one-time encounter, but it is a lifestyle. So when Paul says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, the Greek tense is continually be filled. Continually be filled. And one reason why we lack the energy and the passion to serve many times is because we are less than full. Amen? We are less than full. You can be born again, could be in church for 20 years, could have walked in the Spirit-filled life and not be in the Spirit-filled life today. Even Paul says in Galatians, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. That means it's possible to be living in the Spirit but not walking in the Spirit. I think it's just a different way of saying what he says in Ephesians. You've got the Spirit, chapter 1 and chapter 2, but you need to be filled with the Spirit continually. So, you serve. Number one, the greatest servants in the church are the Spirit-filled servants. And if we're going to serve, we got to be Spirit-filled. God wants to fill us up to full capacity, because in these last days, there needs to be a host of servants rising up to labor in fields that are ready to harvest. And because I need your servitude and you need my servitude. Amen. Sometimes you need somebody to serve you. Sometimes you need to serve somebody. So, number one, servitude. Number two, he spoke powerfully, or he spoke on behalf of God. Do you remember when we taught how it said the two words for preach in chapter 8 in the beginning? One means to proclaim, one means to herald. I believe it's in verse 4. Yes, verse 3 and 4. I know verse 4 and 5. Therefore they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. That's verse 4. That word preach means to proclaim good news, right? That persecution caused them to scatter, and they went and they shared the good news as they were scattered. Verse 5 says this, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Well, that word preach is in verse 5 ain't the same as verse 4. That word means to be a herald, which is a position that is next to a king. Do you remember this? And this is where the king tells the herald exactly what he wants him to say and what he wants him to know, and he speaks on behalf of the king. Let me say this again. When you are walking in the Spirit-filled life, you will find yourself speaking on behalf of the king. Not just declaring truth, and that's good, declaring truth. Sharing the gospel is good. That's great. That's the best, right? But there is something that is even more intense than that, and that's when God begins to speak to you and you go speak on behalf of him. So, you see, he spoke powerfully. He spoke on behalf of God. Number three, he subdued territories for the kingdom of God. He was Spirit-filled. He didn't walk under the title of an apostle. He didn't walk under the title of a pastor. He started off as just the guy that met the needs of the widows in the church. That's where he started. And from there, as he went, he spoke on behalf of God. And as he spoke on behalf of God, his ministry and his faith and the anointing he had, it began to line up with the kingdom of God. And he began to subdue territories for the kingdom of God. So he goes into Samaria where there's a witch doctor and where everybody listens to the witch doctor and they believe everything he says in Samaria, and most of them are possessed with demons and have sicknesses. What a coincidence. Diseases, crazy chaos, demonic possession, all under the spell of one man who opposes the Lord, who has influence in that territory. But yet the servant, the spirit-filled servant, goes, and when he gets there, he speaks the gospel, he speaks on behalf of God, and the anointing he has brings healing to the sick, cast out the demons, and the territory is claimed for the kingdom and the people of God. Do you see this? It is important that we walk in the spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled people will subdue territories for the kingdom of God. Will subdue people for the kingdom of God. Spirit-filled. That's number three. Number four. Now, this is where I've got to. And so from here on out, I want to try to finish these next 6 or 7 points. Do it as quick as I can, but also be as clear as I can. Number four, Philip was spirit-filled, and that made him sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Look, we're learning something today. I feel a different disposition of preaching in the house today. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you this, church. I believe one reason why we are not as sensitive to the Holy Spirit is because we're not filled to full capacity with the Holy Spirit. I would give you this formula as the church. Submit to Holy Spirit, you'll be filled with Holy Spirit, and you'll find yourself sensitive to Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. When you submit to the Holy Spirit inside of you and you yield yourself to Him, everything in you that don't belong, if you'll cast that out, if you remove that, if you let Him remove that, and you let Him have full capacity of you, you yield to the Holy Spirit inside of you 100%, I believe this, then He will have influence over you and you will be more sensitive to Him. I learned this before I knew biblical doctrine. I recognized the work of God in me. I got born again. And you know what I began to find take place after the day I got saved? I had joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? But even then, I felt like the Lord was saying more, more. And I did not know if it was me wanting more or God wanting more of me. Do you know what I found out? I believe it was both and. I believe even though I was born again, God was saying, I want more of you. In other words, I want you to let me have every bit of you. Every part of who you are, I want you to give it to me. I want to fill you up like a glass. And look, if you will give me more of you, all of you, then you're going to begin to recognize and experience more of me. Do you know what he was saying? Let me fill you with the Spirit. I didn't know the doctrinal terms, but I knew this, that God was doing something inside of me that I was saying, God, I want you to have all of me. You submit to Holy Spirit, you'll be filled with Holy Spirit, and you will find yourself sensitive to Holy Spirit. I'm afraid that there's a lot of church right now that they've been born again by the Holy Spirit, but they struggle to hear His voice, and they struggle to feel His touch. And one reason why is because they filled themselves with things of the world to the point that they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now let me say, when I say sensitive, what do I mean? What is the base word of sensitive? Senses, right? Our senses. We see, we smell, we taste, we touch, and that's how we understand. And when I read this text, I read it in Acts chapter 8, that here's Philip, that the angel says, go down to the desert. He gets there. Holy Spirit says, go grab that chariot. Go down there, get near that chariot, and I want you to grab hold of it. It was just clear as day to Philip. Like, some of us, I believe, can get so insensitive to the Spirit that we're trying to make sense of what he might say. But like, is this even you, Holy Spirit? That's awful strange, God. I don't know if you're speaking to me, because that's a strange thing to tell me to do. But what I see about Philip is his senses were keen to the Holy Spirit. He heard Holy Spirit when Holy Spirit talked, and he was able to recognize the voice of Holy Spirit. He felt the touch of the Holy Spirit. He knew when Holy Spirit was moving. He was sensitive to Holy Spirit. Do you know what the church needs? The church needs to get so full of the Holy Spirit that we find ourselves so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when he speaks, we recognize it, we hear it clearly, and we understand it. Have you ever had somewhere on your body that you said, that is sensitive? Don't touch me here. It is sensitive. That means this right here, that it don't take much touch or much moving at all, and you feel it. Just a little bit. I think what God wants to do with the church is fill us up to the point that just the slightest touch or breeze of the Holy Spirit would move us. Amen? Jesus says Holy Spirit's like the wind. Just the slightest through a congregation, that it wouldn't take much to move us because we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But you got to understand, if we're going to get to that point, we got to be submitted and filled. The Spirit-filled life will make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So he says, go grab that chariot. Go grab that chariot. Speaks to him so clear. Go grab that chariot. And you know what the Bible says he did? He ran. He ran. Now, here's an Ethiopian in his chariot, right? And there's Philip. Holy Spirit says, hey, go down there. Run down under that chariot. Get close to it and grab it. And he takes off running. What if that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit could be applied to a church service? Do you know, I think sometimes God getting us to move into worship or into ministry to one another or into being free in his presence, sometimes it's probably like pulling teeth. And it ought not be. It should be the slightest breeze. A whisper from the Holy Ghost should be enough to make you run and grab the chariot. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled life will make you be sensitive. You'll hear him better. You'll perceive him better. You'll feel his presence easier. There's some of you that long to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you feel like you've been in a drought for a long time. Can I tell you one thing that will help you get back there? You need to get rid of everything in you that God, that opposes him, that exalts, that don't exalt the Lord, everything in you, that Holy Spirit that don't want in you, you need to get it out, submit fully to him, let him have every bit of you, let him fill you up, and I promise you, you will get sensitive to the touch of the Holy Ghost in the presence of God again. I promise you. We try so many times with God, we try to bypass. We try to go the easy route. Everybody wants to be moved and blown by the Holy Spirit and just radically touched by his presence without submitting to him in everyday life. And it just don't work like that. It don't work like that. Look, those who are yielded to the Spirit within them will be most sensitive to his touch. Right? And so, Holy Spirit, let me say this. When I think about him having full capacity of me, having, if he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the wine brings the influence. Holy Spirit brings the influence. When he has all of me, he will influence what and how I hear. He will influence what and how I perceive. He will influence what and how I feel. I want to tell you this. Some of the things that are so frustrating to you in life, you might not be so sensitive to it, if you weren't so much filled with carnality in the first place. And you might not would be so unsensitive to the Holy Spirit. But if we are filled with Holy Spirit, we will be more sensitive to spiritual things and to the presence of God than we will be to the exterior carnal things. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Sensitive. Somebody say sensitive. John chapter 3. Let me read you. Let me read you a few verses. This is my longer point. I know I got a bunch more. This is one of the longer ones. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know what Jesus just said? When I send you the Comforter that's going to abide in you, you're going to get a heavy dose of him speaking and him showing. He's going to affect your senses. He's going to operate through your senses. He's going to have influence over your hearing and what you perceive. When we are filled with the Spirit, he will make us sensitive to spiritual things. There's a lot of us that would have never made it to the chariot. A lot of us would have been stuck at the angel. The angel speaks to him and says, go into a desert place. Number one, God, I'm not leaving the glory to go into the desolation. Right? Because he's in revival right now, and the angel says, go down to the desert. Most of us, God, I'm not leaving. I'm not even going to hear your voice on this. I'm staying right here in the revival and the glory, and I'm not about to go down to the desolation. And if we could make it past that, then we would have to get on and call. An angel just spoke to me. Am I losing my mind? What is going on? We wouldn't even know what to think about what God's doing. We wouldn't even know if it was God. That's what happens when we fail to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. We don't even know how to interpret how God is interacting with us. But when you are Spirit-filled and he has influences over how you hear, how you perceive every sense, and you are sensitive to his touch, then you have understanding of how God is working through and dealing with you. See, God would like to deal with you in greater ways, but you ain't ready for it. He would like to touch you in different ways and speak in different ways, but some of us wouldn't hear it if he did, wouldn't see it if he showed it, and couldn't handle it if he moved that way, because we ain't ready for it. We got too much of the wrong thing in us and not enough of the right thing in us, and it is making us cold and unsensitive to spiritual things of God. Are you with me? One of the things that I see leap out of the scripture when I see Philip is he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I was in Mississippi one time, and I don't remember the church. I remember the roof was not tall. And a guy had gave me a book under one condition. He says, there's not many copies made. I want it back. So I didn't have long to read it, like a week, I think. I think I was coming back to preach again. But I was reading through this man, and it was, I read through his journal, and I can still remember several inserts of his journal where, if I understand it right, his family took his diary and composed it into a book of his journal, and a couple of the stories in it. And what was remarkable to me about this man is how sensitive he was to the Holy Spirit. Now, this would have been, I believe, late 1800s and the 1900s. Probably more set in early 1900s. But a few things. One of the stories, and some of you probably heard me tell some of these. One of them is they were in a big drought at the time. And this man would take his son, and I believe the man who wrote in his journal, he was the son at the time, but he was with his granddaddy. And they would go to the church and pray every day for rain because there was such a drought and their crops was dying. They would go pray. Every day they would go pray and it would not rain. Even to the point that they would walk through a town to get to the church, and people in the town began to scoff at the man because he kept going to pray and it would never rain. He said one morning, Holy Spirit said, wear your rain jacket and your rain boots. Now already he had been made fun of every time he would pass through the town. And he takes his boy, or his grandson, and puts a rain jacket on. And then he himself put a rain jacket on. And he walked through the town, and they made fun of him. And the boy talks about his granddad. He walked into the corner and began to pray in his rain suit. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. Nothing happened. He said, finally, his granddaddy turned around. He said, for the first time, I seen him weep. And he walked away after prayer meeting and nothing, in his rain suit, probably beginning to believe that he was as crazy as everybody said. And he said, I saw tears roll off my granddaddy's face. And they began to hit the floor. And he said, I'd never seen it. And then right after I saw tears hit the floor, I heard water hit the roof. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And both men that sat there and waited on him every day to make fun of him, it rained so hard that it eroded their farms away. But Holy Spirit said, put on your rain jacket. I'm telling you, the Spirit-filled life, Holy Spirit will speak to you in detailed ways, like go grab a chariot, like put on a rain jacket. Another one, he said he was going and the Lord had told him, he kept going by this field and God said, I want you to go out in that field and worship me. So I don't even know whose field that is, God. Next time, go out in that field and worship me. He said, I begin to say, God, so you want me to stop and go out in this field and worship you? He said, I do. So he climbed over a barbed wire fence and walked out into a sage field and began to pray and began to thank you, Lord. Kept on and kept on. Well, then the Spirit began to move over him and his worship come alive. And he got louder and he began to cry out and he began to worship and he began to let go and praise the Lord. And in his worship, he happened to look over and here come two men in orange vests that had been in the woodline deer hunting. And they walked up to him and said they wanted that Jesus. But it all started because Holy Spirit said, stop your car and walk out in that field and worship me. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will hear Him speak distinctly, and hastily you will go. Do you see what I'm saying? God had to send somebody that could hear the words, grab a chariot, and that would run to it. And the church ain't filled with them because not everybody's that sensitive. Because sometimes God's got to tell you to do something that to you, it ain't going to sound right. And if we're too cold and hard to be obedient anyway, we miss out on so many things that God is. Do you see what I'm saying? Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number four, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Another story. Let me say this one. They were planting a church. This is all the same guy. They were planting a church. I believe this was in Kentucky. And he had people that was, he went up there to do the work and he had got with the people and he had already committed to, you know, we're going to build a church and we're going to plant one here. And a lot of the people that had said they would support this and do the work and help finance it, that all fell through. He said, I stood there with a group of people and I told them what was going to happen and now I couldn't do anything. And I told them that God was wanting to do this. And he knew that God was saying, build a church right here. And he said, he knew it. Holy Spirit said, build a church here. The people that was supposed to pitch in, nobody showed up. And he tells this story. He said he was so frustrated. And he got in his truck and he drove down the road. And he said he was going. And he said, Holy Spirit said, I want you to stop and go dig a hole. He said, wait a minute. You want me to do what? He said, I want you to pull your truck over and get that shovel off back and go dig a hole. Why? go dig a hole. God, why dig a hole? Spirit didn't say why. He just said, dig a hole. Every time he'd say, why dig a hole? Spirit would say, go dig a hole. So he said, I walked out feeling like an idiot. I walked out with a shovel in a field, and I put it in, and I stuck it in, and I started digging a hole. Nearly angry because God's making me dig a hole. I don't know why. Said a little while later, he was getting his hole dug. Don't know why he's digging it. Spirit just told him, dig a hole. And here comes a truck pulling up, and a man walked out with a bag of money and said, God told me to give this to somebody that needed it. And I asked God who. He said, I'll show you when you see him. And I was going down the road, and God said, give it to that man digging a hole. And he took it and built the church. But that all came from specific instructions of the voice of Holy Spirit, and men who were sensitive enough to actually hear it, believe it, and do it. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will be sensitive to Holy Spirit. Amen? Number five, when you're Spirit filled, not only will you be sensitive to the Spirit, but you're going to be a more spiritual person. Or affiliated with the supernatural. You'll be more spiritual or affiliated with the supernatural. Let me show you some things. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it cannot see him. Nor can the world know him. But you will know him, because he'll be in you. When you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to know the Spirit of God in ways that the world cannot know him and the world cannot see him. You understand? Can I say that another way? When Holy Spirit is in you, you will be opened up to spiritual things. And the world is not gonna, they're gonna look at you like you're crazy. They can't see what you see, and they can't even comprehend what you know. Jesus said, when I send you the Spirit, he will live inside of you forever. You will know him. You will see. But the world around you, they will not know him, and they will not see him. You ever been around somebody that's just real spiritual, nearly overbearing to you? You know what that might mean? It might mean that they're filled with the Spirit and you're not. It could. That's what it could mean. Because you can't see and know what they're talking about. Because you ain't got what they got. Because when Holy Spirit is in you, you're going to be a spiritual person. Let me show you again, okay? I shared this the other day, probably from the pulpit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this. One of the most out of context verses that I've heard. I hear it all the time in preaching. Boy, it sounds good, but they didn't finish reading the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Those that love God, it ain't even entered into your mind, your heart, what God has in store for you. You know, we've heard it preached that way, that God loves you so much. He's got so much for you. It is so great that it ain't even began to enter, you know, as if it's. But then the next verse says, but God hath revealed them unto us. God revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit searches the deep things of God and then reveals them to us. Oh my God, that for generations before Holy Spirit filled men's souls and got inside of men, there was things that God was doing and wanted to do, but men could not see it. It could not enter into their heart. It stayed on the exterior until Holy Ghost got in them. And what Holy Ghost does, he searches out all the deep things of God and shows them to you. I'm telling you, when he gets in you and he has influence over you, he will open you up to a whole nother spiritual realm, and he will speak to you in spiritual ways. What you think? Holy Ghost is going to talk to you in carnal ways about carnal things? Absolutely. He was not sent to teach you anything about this world. He was sent to teach you the spiritual things of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God. And that's what he will show you. And that's what he will speak to you. And you will encounter the spiritual and the supernatural when we are spirit-filled. Let me keep reading. I didn't even get to read all the verse, for I went off right there. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Man knows humanly things. That's what the spirit of man knows. Knows earthly things, natural things, carnal things. That's what we know. Even so, things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Do you see this? Thousands of years! Man could understand what man could understand, and we could acknowledge a God, but when Holy Spirit got inside of man and took influence over man, then he opened a door for man to begin to see the things of God and the spiritual things. I'm telling you, when you are spirit-filled, you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but you will be a spiritual person, and you will have spiritual encounters. Spiritual encounters. You know what his encounters were? He run into people with demons and he cast them out. He saw miracles performed. An angel talked to him, all right? An angel talked to him. Verse 39. What do you do with that? What do you do with verse 39 in Acts chapter 8? Listen. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. That eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. He transported, he teleported. Say, are you telling me that if I'll get spirit-filled, I'll begin to transport and teleport? Now, if that's what you think I'm saying, you're nuts, okay? But I am telling you this. Do you think Philip would have teleported and had a conversation with an angel and cast out demons if he wouldn't spirit-filled, listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost? Do you think so? Absolutely not. The only reason he was qualified to have an angel visit him and to be moved by God that way is because he was under the influence and yielded to Holy Spirit. A lot of times in my life, if an angel says, go to the desert, I can't get past the angel to even think about going to a desert. I'm calling. Do you know what I think happened to me last night? And half the church advice you'd get is it'd be from the devil in these day and times. I'm not saying that angels will visit you and you'll be teleported, but I'm saying this. That God can do things with you and handle you certain ways in the spirit realm if you're yielded to Holy Spirit than if you ain't. That's what I mean. You couldn't handle some of the things. Do you know why Philip could handle that? Because he was sensitive to the Spirit. He was in tune with the spiritual. Does this make sense? Say, well, that's just dispensational, the way he moved him and this and that. Well, what if that's what you think, whatever. I'm just telling you this. I think he moved him that way and he talked to him that way and he visited him that way because he was such under the influence of the Holy Spirit, so filled with the Holy Spirit that he could serve on one end, preach on one end, and totally function in the spirit realm on the other. I don't understand why I hear preachers say, well, they don't like the term spiritual. This person's more spiritual than that. And I hear a lot of people, they don't like that term. And I don't understand that because that is just the case sometimes. You got a lot of believers that are believers in the cross, but they ain't believer in spiritual things because they've not opened up the Holy Spirit yet. I digress. I'm going to move on. Number six. This is good. Number six. When you are spirit-filled, you'll find yourself in sovereign action. God's sovereign action. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you. Here's an Ethiopian eunuch who crossed the Nile, crossed the desert, traveled 500 miles to go to Jerusalem because he wanted to know God. And when he gets there, there's tens of thousands of Jews and Gentiles. And because he is a Gentile eunuch, he makes it no further than the outer gate. He's on the outside looking in. He acquires a copy of Isaiah, and he heads back home, 500 miles back in his chariot, unsatisfied, uncontent, and unsaved. And that was not okay with God. So God began to sovereignly act. And he sent a guy named Philip and said, leave the glory of revival. Leave the 99. It's time to get one. And go down into that same desert where he is. Because you got to understand, the eunuch wasn't just in sand. He was in a spiritual desert. So as the eunuch is in a spiritual desert, he sends a man who's prospering in the Spirit. That's God's sovereign action. Philip didn't know the eunuch, where he would be, at what time he would be there. Do you see all this? God knew that he would be here at this time. And Philip, I know I can tell you to go to the desert, because I know whoever I tell to go to the desert needs to go right now. Because you need to go right now, because the eunuch's going to be there in just a little bit. And I need somebody that's spirit-filled, because if they're spirit-filled, they're going to be sensitive to my voice. They will hear, heed, and hasten my word. And so Philip finds himself in the sovereign action and the sovereign hand of God. Going back again, you remember the guy that pulled over and worshiped in the field? He had to go. God kept going because God knew who was hunting in the woodline. Sometimes God's little specific commands that may not mean nothing to you may not make sense. If you will just be sensitive and yield, you will find yourself in the sovereign action of God. And who don't want to be right there? I won't try to tell you a story I read this week. Some of you may know this, and I may butcher it, but my intentions is pure as they can be. I wrote notes about this story. I want to try to get it right, okay? Okay. In 1985, there was a man named Clarence who Holy Spirit had told him, sent him. Clarence Dunn, he was sent to Africa to share the gospel. He was sent to Tanzania, Mozambique, Malawi. And upon his arrival, Clarence Dunn asked to meet with the elders. Clarence Duncan, I'm sorry. And when Clarence Duncan, he meets with the elders, they looked at him and they asked him what his name was and why he was here. He said, my name's Clarence. And they look very strangely at him. Very strange. And they ended up have a meeting with him. And they were all Muslims. And the leader of the tribe that met with Clarence's name was Abu. And so they said, we wanted to ask you questions. And Mr. Clarence said, well, I would prefer to only answer with Scripture so that you can see I'm not bringing my culture upon you, but I'm really bringing you the truth. First question they ask is, why do you say there's three gods? His only answer is two answers, Deuteronomy 6:4. He responds back, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God is one God. And then Mark 12:29, where Jesus affirms it. He reads him two verses. That's it. After they meet with him, a little while goes on, and they meet with him again. And it goes on, the story goes on, and this is what happened. When they had met with him again, they had plotted to kill him against Christianity. And in that meeting, they had did magical spells and poisoned him. And the leader, Abu, got born again and saved. And this is his reason why. Now remember, Holy Spirit said, go down here to the Muslims and tell them about Jesus. Who's ready to go do that in a country where they can just go ahead and kill you? Abu, the leader, gets born again and saved. And here's why. Number one, the day Clarence rolled in, 21 years prior to that, a missionary named Clarence came and they killed him. And when he comes back again and says, I'm Clarence, it scared them a little bit because God done resurrected Clarence or sent another. Number one, he finds himself in the sovereign action of God because he's sensitive to the command of God. Number two, they said, when you begin to read the Bible, after we cast our spells and poison, we knew you had a stronger spirit than us. And number three, Abu the leader, over 15 years ago, walked up on a hill and he saw a bright light and a voice said, read this book. And he said, I cannot read. And he said, read this book. And he said, I looked at it and it was Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord our God is one God. He said, I come back off the mountain. And everybody in the village said, this was before they were Muslims. He said, they looked up and they said, they thought he was dead because they saw the fire on the mountain. And from that moment, he come down and Abu could read. He could read. And the Muslims come in and they took him because he was the one that could read. And he took and he became a Muslim and he taught the village and he was the one that taught. And he also debated Christianity because he was the one that could read. But on that day when he sent Clarence, the second Clarence, that overcome the poison and the magic and quoted to him the first verse he had ever read in a book, Deuteronomy 6:4, Abu fell down the Muslim and got born again, and so did the whole village. And it all started with, go down there to some Muslims in Mozambique and Tanzania and tell them about Jesus. It all started right there. He had no idea another Clarence had came. He had no idea they was trying to kill him, and he had no idea that Abu had had an encounter with God like that. I'm telling you this, when you're spirit-filled and you're sensitive to these little bitty strange commands by God, many times those little bitty strange commands like God are the ones that finds you in the sovereign action of God's hand moving in mighty ways. I told you before, I'll never forget God telling me at Belk to go up and talk to that daddy and that son and tell them something specific when I was young, and it was weird to me and I didn't do it. But you know what I missed out on? Seeing a sovereign hand of God move. Seeing the action. These little commands. Look, if we are spirit-filled, then we are sensitive enough to hear them. And when we hastily obey them, we will experience the supernatural and the spiritual, and we will find ourselves seeing the sovereign action of God. Does that make sense? I'm nearly done. Number 7, 8, 9, and 10, real quick. When you're spirit-filled, this is a simple point. I know we went deep there. We're coming back out. When you're spirit-filled, you're going to share the gospel. You're going to share the gospel. Acts chapter 8, verse 40. But Philip was found as at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Everywhere he went, he shared the gospel. Everywhere he went, he shared the gospel. I might have already preached this point. I'm going to preach it again right now. Everywhere he went, he shared the gospel. He shared the gospel. Do you hear what I'm saying? He shared the gospel. Somebody say the word share. Say it again. Share. If you got a good thing and you got a lot of it, what should you do with it? If you really value what you got and you got enough for everybody, what you gonna do with it? If you really love and what you've got is really good and you've got more than enough for everybody, what are you going to do with it? You're going to share. And if Holy Ghost is inside of you and he begins to influence how you see, how you hear, how you feel, and he's filled you with such a good thing that you can give it to everybody else, then you're going to share it. And we've grown up to be a bunch of, not all of us, but some of us in the modern church. Many of us are saved and not spirit-filled, and because of that, we are not sensitive to spiritual things. We've grown cold-hearted. We tell our kids to share, yet we will not share what we have an abundance of and what is the most valuable thing on the earth, and that is the gospel. How hypocritical. Share the gospel. Because when you are a vessel filled up to the top, where does it go when it overflows? It goes on everybody around you. And when Holy Spirit fills you, you will overflow and the gospel will fall on those around you. I'm different in some of the things I preach and teach. Do I believe that tongues is a gift and it's an evidence of spirit-filled life? Absolutely. But you know what else I believe just as much? Is the first statement that said, when you receive the Holy Ghost and receive power, you'll be a witness. And I feel like that is the primary evidence. You can sit at home with a private prayer language and go 30 years and not share the gospel. I'm not calling you spirit-filled. I believe one of the greatest evidences of the spirit-filled life is you will share the simplicity of the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. You just got to tell somebody about who Jesus is and what he did for you. How can we not share it? What does it mean if we will not share it? It's got to mean something. I know what it means. It means Holy Spirit ain't got influence over you. I know that. You'll share the gospel everywhere he went. He shared the gospel. Number 8. He was scriptural. How you get that? He was scriptural. He goes up to the eunuch. The eunuch's reading the Bible. He's reading out of Isaiah. And he says, who can understand this? Philip said, well, you can't because you ain't got what I got. But I got something in me that gives understanding. And I understand the scriptures, so I'm glad you ask. This is about the suffering servant. This is about the virgin, the son born of a virgin, the Son of God that died for the sins of mankind. And he began to walk him through the scriptures and show him Jesus. He said, what about this verse? Do you know what this means? Oh, yeah, I know what that means. Let me tell you what God is saying here. And he was scriptural. If you are spirit-filled, you will be scriptural. It means you're going to read it, you're going to understand it, and you're going to stand on it. It's going to be authority. You're going to use it, and you're going to be able to teach people of God with the scriptures. Now, there's a lot I don't understand in that book. There's a lot. But there's a whole lot I never understood, and Holy Spirit showed me. So I'm just a thinking, and I'm just a believing that there's a whole lot more he's going to teach me and show me, because when you are spirit-filled, you're going to be scriptural. You'll see them, understand them, you'll love them, you'll read it. You're going to want to read the Bible. You're going to need to read the Bible. Holy Spirit's going to be in you speaking, read the Bible, read the Bible. Yeah, he's going to put you in the scriptures, put the scriptures inside of you, and use them for the glory of God. Scriptural. Two more points and we're done. He was steadfast, Acts 21. Because he was spirit-filled, he was steadfast, Acts 21. Verse 8, and the next day that we were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea. Remember the last verse we left? He preached his way all the way to Caesarea. And now, Acts chapter 21, verse 8, he is still in Caesarea, and he went and entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. By this time, he is known as Philip the evangelist. He's in Caesarea. You know how long he's been there? Do you know how long it's been from Acts 21 to Acts 8? 20 years nearly 20 years, and he's still preaching that same old gospel. Now he's got the title evangelist because he's preached it so much. He's got the reputation of a gospel sharer in the town that he lives in, and they knew if they go to that town, they can go to that house because there they'll find the gospel, and the gospel will be supported. Steadfast. 20 years. Years and years and years, in spite of persecution, in spite of aging, in spite of exhaustion, years and years, he's still going. That's the spirit-filled life. I got men in my life who was anointed by God, and they ain't still going. Did any of y'all know anybody like that? God used them and you saw it. But they ain't doing it no longer. Can I tell you this? And I say this humbly because I can be the same place. I could be the same place. And I will be if I neglect to yield to Holy Spirit inside of me. If I submit to Him and let Him influence like the wine, then I will be steadfast until my wife and my children put me in the ground and put a tombstone over that hole. I will be steadfast. But it's going to take the spirit-filled life. Because as they said, they recognized there was a greater spirit in Clarence than Abu had. Because what I got ain't enough. It's got to be him in me. You understand? He was steadfast. Number 10. It spilled over into his family. I love this. I love this. I love this. If you're a mother or a father, and you ain't even got to be a mother or father. You can just be a neighbor, husband, or wife, or whatever, or co-worker. But listen to this. Last point. This is good. Look at the end of verse 8. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. He had four little girls that had kept themselves chaste and pure. You may say, well, that's just the culture. It may be. But it also says they prophesied. So I would have to say that their chaste virginity was more than just their culture. You know what it looks like to me? They lived with a daddy who was a really spiritual man. A daddy that was filled with the Spirit. and sensitive to the Spirit. They watched how he listened to the Holy Spirit, how he saw and understood spiritual things. They watched him be touched by the Holy Spirit. They watched him flow in the Holy Spirit. They watched him continually be filled with the Spirit. And I believe every time, because he was consistently filled with the Spirit, it would fill him up and it would overflow and drip onto his daughters and cultivate into them four little girls that would know and be sensitive to the things of God and the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? He had four girls, virgins, and they prophesied. That may not meet the church narrative today, but it was happening then. Four little girls that kept themselves, and they would open their mouths and let God speak through them. You can take them to church. You can tell them right and wrong. And that's good. But that does not compare to them seeing you yield to the Holy Spirit in your life. When you start saying things to them like, girls, we got to stop right here. Well, Daddy, why? Well, the Lord just told me to stop and do this. When they see that, when they see that, well, girls, I know what you said to me the other day, and you know, the Lord told me to tell you. I just felt like the Lord's speaking this. And baby, this is the Bible. This is what, they were so cultivated by having a father that was Spirit-filled into spiritual things. That's the greatest way. Live your life. Live your life. You can read books on being a godly daddy all day long. Best thing you can do is have communion with the Holy Spirit and yield to Him. That's the best thing you can do. And what they're going to see is a heavy emphasis of Christ, because Holy Spirit emphasizes Christ. I want to ask you to stand. Last point was it spilled over into his family. Spirit-filled, and it spilled over into his children, his family. Just a different unction this morning. I feel like as we close this out, the Lord was saying, I want them to hear it. I want them to get it. I want you to walk through it. Reason with it. Meditate on it. And as we close this, I have no doubt in my mind that what the voice of God is saying here at Neesmith Church is yield to Holy Spirit. Yield to Holy Spirit. Yield to Holy Spirit. Take Him in, just like the wine. Let Him have influence. Let Him influence your senses. Let Him make you sensitive to the things of God. Let Him flow through you. Let Holy Spirit serve the body through your body. Let Holy Spirit serve the bride of Jesus through your body, through your life. Let Holy Spirit reach the world through your life. Find yourself in the specific sovereign action of God. Who don't want to be there? Who don't want to be there? You go ahead and play a song.